Thank you for subscribing and listening to CERT News. This edition of the podcast accompanies the November 2016 issue of our newsletter, which can be found on our website at www.unf.edu/CIRT/newsletters.
Hi, this is Jamie Chairs, Instructional Designer in CERT, and today this podcast is on our faculty spotlight. Dr. Andrea Arcava, Assistant Professor in the Brooks College of Health, teaches a 3,000-level course that she finds to be one of the most challenging in the nutrition and dietetics curriculum. The course has a biochemical focus where students apply concepts of metabolism of micro and macronutrients to the dietetics profession. This class is taught once a week for 2 hours and 45 minutes. She usually has a presentation with lecture and a lot of diagrams and videos for the first 75 minutes of class and activities for the remainder of the time. I noticed that it is impossible for students to pay attention in class for more than a few minutes. It takes only 1 minute of distraction to completely lose the line of thought. So I started recording the class lectures to help students get back on track if they get lost in class. There are many options available for the creation of video and narrated presentations, but it is not always clear up front what the cost, capabilities, and limitations will be with each tool. Dr. Arcava first used Blackboard Collaborate to record her lessons, but had to give the presentation twice, once in person and once via Collaborate. She tried using Camtasia to record the actual class presentation, but the videos were too long with classroom interruptions and questions and answers. This method also required the added step of uploading the file to ShareStream for posting in Blackboard. After meeting with an instructional designer in CERT, Dr. Arikawa tried a free add-on for Microsoft PowerPoint called Office Mix, and she's been very pleased with the results. Office Mix adds interactive functionality to the already familiar PowerPoint presentation software. Anyone who has Microsoft PowerPoint for Windows can download Office Mix at no cost. In addition to adding narration to your presentations, Office Mix offers the following benefits: adding inking, webcam videos, and screen captures to your presentations, assess and require students to be active throughout the presentation with simulations, polls, multiple choice, and open-ended questions. Files are stored in a Microsoft Online Gallery account, so they do not count towards file storage limits in Canvas. And analytics inform you who is watching and where presentations lose viewers. As a first-time user, Dr. Arikawa was happy with how easy the process was. It took 30 seconds to download the add-on to my computer, and all I need is a microphone to record my presentations. My favorite feature is that I can record one slide at a time, and if I don't like recording for any particular slide, I can just delete that specific recording and redo it. This makes my life much easier. I also like the fact that I can choose to have a file in MP4 format. I usually do that in addition to the embedded link in Canvas, because students like to download it onto their computers to listen in the car or places where they don't have internet access. Dr. Arikawa discovered two downsides. While recording a presentation, there isn't a typing tool, only drawing with a pen, and an inability to go back to a previous slide. She has learned to work around to alleviate her issues, add an additional duplicate slide instead of going back to a previous slide. Another feature of Office Mix is that it has an online application that allows for integration with Canvas. While a normal PowerPoint presentation that has been uploaded online to Canvas doesn't allow users to click on interactive elements inside the presentation, the cloud-hosted Office Mix PowerPoints give students access to interactive content within the presentation. Presentations can be assigned through the assignment tool, which will create a Turnitin button for students to click when they are finished watching the presentation, and a column in the gradebook. Analytics are recorded in your Microsoft Office Mix gallery, where you can view valuable statistics about how long students are spending on each slide, how many times a slide has been viewed, and which individual students are viewing the slides. Dr. Arikawa is now assigning her students to use Office Mix to create 5-minute presentation videos. She hopes that they will find it easy to use and that she can use it in her classes both for her presentations and student work. To learn more about Office Mix and its Canvas integration, schedule a consultation with an instructional designer. We also plan to repeat our CERT event, Dynamic Content in Canvas, Office Mix and Google Apps, in spring 2017.
This is Deb Miller, Director in CERT, and in this edition of CERT News, I want to share some highlights from Inside Higher Ed's National Survey on Faculty Attitudes Toward Technology. This is the fifth year of this annual survey conducted by editors of Inside Higher Ed in conjunction with the Gallup organization. Learning analytics, online courses, plagiarism, and scholarly publishing were some of the topics addressed in this year's survey. I've pulled out a few of the highlights that I think would be of particular interest to our faculty. 39% of faculty members say that they require students to submit work through plagiarism detection software. 95% of faculty members think course materials and textbooks are priced too high. And although faculty members continue to be skeptical about the quality of online education, they do identify certain factors that are important indicators of quality. Foremost among those are that meaningful training is available to instructors before they teach an online course. Faculty are also skeptical about the use of analytics and data to improve student learning outcomes and believe that these initiatives are aimed at appeasing outside groups. This is the second year that questions about institutional use of data have been included in the survey. New to this year's survey were questions about scholarly communication, including both formal publishing and the use of social media. Faculty report having more respect for scholarship published in subscription journals, while also identifying concern that journal prices are too high for individual subscribers and for institutional libraries. For more on this survey, please view the online edition of CERT News, which also links to the complete survey results.
Hello, my name is Beauty, the coordinator of educational media at CERT. In this edition's Digital Thinking column, we're going to be talking about using Facebook groups to facilitate and enhance communication while traveling abroad with students. Traveling abroad with a large group of students brings the age-old problem of keeping everyone informed in a timely manner. A simple and convenient way to accomplish this task is through the use of Facebook groups. Almost everybody uses Facebook to check in with friends and family and while traveling. It's an easy way to send quick announcements to people and know that they will get the message and can share it with others. Facebook offers the added advantage of not requiring cell phone data as long as an adequate Wi-Fi connection is available. It's a wonderful tool to use over the course of the entire trip, from before you leave until after the journey is over. Facebook groups facilitate pre-planning travel and build excitement and community before the trip begins. Such groups also provide an ideal platform for sharing reminders and fielding trip-related questions. The familiar environment of Facebook makes it comfortable for students and faculty to share packing advice, compare notes on what they plan to bring, and ask questions related to course requirements, such as pre-trip readings. Such communications also alleviate travel-related anxieties by providing an easily accessible place to post last-minute details about airport departures or arrivals. As soon as people arrive at a location with Wi-Fi in a new country, it's natural for them to check their phone for messages, and many look at Facebook first. Oftentimes, airports, restaurants, and cafes will give you the password for their free Wi-Fi. This is especially helpful if your group is arriving at different times. Where exactly are we meeting again? Someone might ask. We have a small group of four at Terminal 3, to the left when you get out of customs. We're sitting down at one of the tables. Someone else may reply. You can share reminders or last-minute changes in the schedule along with other important information. If the group's dinner plans change from previously communicated schedules, everyone can get the message to be there at the right time. The questions become easy to ask, and the connection facilitates a very open communication with the entire group. Does anybody have extra band-aids? Does anyone have a power adapter I can borrow for the evening? Does anyone want to get together to have dinner tonight? Even if somebody doesn't respond, they'll find comfort reading a post confirming that their own information is correct. After the journey is over, you may also encounter some unexpected surprises and long-term benefits. Students may ask, where do we turn in our assignments, in Canvas or in person? People begin sharing travel photos and videos and links to things happening in cities that they just visited, and it also helps support with post-trip blues. Some groups have put together websites and published books, all shared with each other through Facebook posts. Many keep in touch with their current news of graduating and going to grad school, military deployments, and even marriage proposals. It becomes a great tool for arranging post-travel get-togethers. For example, a group that traveled to Spain during a summer study abroad trip organized a Spanish dinner in St. Augustine and a hike around the city after their return, all of which probably wouldn't have happened without the ease and open dialogue facilitated by using Facebook groups. All of this helps to build alumni camaraderie and memories that last for years. Facebook groups have the option of being set to public or private, depending on your use case. Contact CERT if you are interested in learning about how to set up a group and more suggestions for using it on your journeys.
Hi, my name is Allison Archer. I'm an instructional designer at CERT, and today in Best Practices, I'm going to talk about course analytics in Canvas. In a face-to-face course, an instructor often promotes student retention and success by assessing students' engagement or participation in the course. Are students showing up to class? Are they taking notes? Participating in discussions? Are assignments being turned in on time? Have students read the material? Do they look confused? Are they awake? While some of these cues are observed behaviors, many can also be measured in an online course. Learning analytics is the collection and analysis of data that is gathered while students are engaged with and in the learning management system. Instructors should be aware of how students are using the online course so that they can look for patterns and predict outcomes, make meaningful adjustments to the course, and proactively intervene on behalf of at-risk students, if necessary. Knowing when and how to use course analytics can empower the instructor and help to prevent students from falling through the cracks. Canvas features course-wide and individual student analytics reports for published courses. These reports can provide a snapshot of how and when the system is being used, when submissions are taking place relative to set due dates, and what student achievement looks like in terms of scores. In course analytics, there are four main sections that can be displayed graphically or as a table. Activity reports the number of page views and participations, posting to a discussion, submitting an assignment or quiz, joining a conference, etc., by date. An instructor may look for and consider trends such as greater activity as the due date approaches. This information may prompt the instructor to ensure availability accordingly. An instructor may also notice a week where activity is significantly lower and wish to add an element to motivate students to interact with the content or fellow classmates. Note that currently, activity on a mobile device is not recorded. In addition, consider the time students may have spent with the content or activities taken outside of the system. For example, downloading and reading a PDF or working on a project using an external program or website. Submissions show the breakdown of those on time, late, and missing by activity. If a large percentage of students submitted late or not at all, the instructor might consider breaking the assignment into smaller chunks for the next iteration of the course or sending out a reminder announcement before the next assignment's due date. Grades provides the point distribution for each activity, including the lowest, median, and highest scores, the interquartile range, and the possible points. An instructor may wish to consider the activities that deviate from a normal distribution. Was the assignment too challenging or not challenging enough? Were the objectives, content, and assessment all in alignment? Be wary of late assessments for which you have not yet entered a grade of zero. The distribution only features scores that have been entered and could be misinterpreted for that reason. The student analytics table gives information on page views, participations, submissions, and score for each individual student. It is sortable by page views, participations, or score. This could be helpful in determining which students are scoring low and why. Is it because not enough time is being spent in the course or some other reason? By clicking on a student's name, the instructor will be taken to the student analytics. Another way to access individual student analytics is from the People link on the course menu. Student analytics features four sections, which can be viewed graphically or as tables. Activity shows page views and participations of the individual student by date. The instructor may wish to navigate to an at-risk student and look for trends, for example, declining activity. For such a case, the instructor may wish to contact the student in an attempt to re-engage him or her. Communication shows a record of inbox conversations between an individual student and instructor by date, according to who initiated. This may be a helpful visual representation of students the instructor has communicated with most and least frequently, when communications have taken place, and whether students have responded to the instructor's communication and vice versa. Submissions reports when a student submitted an activity, whether it was submitted on time, late, or not at all, and displays future assignments. For this section to be meaningful, the instructor should set due dates for all activities prior to the start of the course. Use the drag and drop feature on the calendar to quickly and easily assign due dates. Grades gives a picture of how the student is scoring on graded activities relative to other students in the course. This may be helpful for an instructor to determine which students require special attention and on what types of activities. An instructor may find that a student has scored below average on all activities, or that a student typically scores well on discussions and assignments, but not on quizzes.
Thank you for listening. For more information, or if you have any questions, please contact us on the web at unf.edu/CIRT. Have a great day!